Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress G, and of course you are in tune to our weekly live broadcast, New Day, Resurrection and Liberation is now approaching its 14th straight year. That's right. Consistency, commitment, and the continuation of what we started 24 years ago this year, but now ready to move into areas that we've been talking about, but now literally are doing. With that said, we welcome everyone to this segment of New Day, and we thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. We are going to talk with a couple of folks. One, of course, being Brother Lee Robinson, who is going to give us a very, very timely update on what's going on in Cuba. I'm sure some of you have probably heard some of the things that have been put out there in the mass media. And the question has to be, why? Why right now is all of this being done, said, and so forth? Well, we're going to give that kind of analyzation. And again, why is it important that we pay close attention? You know, we're in a time period now where if folks are just looking at what's going on in their community, which we certainly should, and even, you know, to a greater extent, not just look to see what's going on in our community, but really deal with the kind of strategies that is necessary to safeguard, better safeguard our families and communities. Well, it's also important that we know and understand what's going on in the world, and particularly as it pertains to our people, and also to know what's going on with our allies, because we're going to need that in the very near future. We actually need it right now, but certainly you all have got to know that as things begin to proceed in the direction it's going into, it's going to get really bad. It's going to be much worse than what most folks think. And unfortunately, as the old gospel song and saying goes, not everybody's going to be saved. Well, that's just a fact. And for whatever reason, some don't want to seem to know or understand that, but they will soon find out, best believe, just as COVID hit and did its thing in terms of how it created all kinds of chaos, havoc, and you name it, had people manipulated and still got them manipulated because folks are lining up to take the vaccine. Anyway, y'all know what's going on. I don't need to tell you. At any rate, we're going to talk to Brother Lee again about what's going on in Cuba, but also the recent conference that he attended in Venezuela. Again, we have to know what's going on with our allies. The other thing we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to get a special report from Sister Tawanda. Something has happened again in Bemor. I mean, there's always something going on there, as in other cities, but some real kind of interesting stuff, and we kind of are wondering why this is so hush-hush right now. Well, you'll hear what we're talking about very shortly when we talk to Sister Tawanda in a few minutes. Also, the call to black women, yep, is definitely being made. Now, our experience has really shown us that, unfortunately, a lot of our women are just not ready. Not ready to do the kinds of things that our ancestors and our elders and so forth have shown us. And so with that understanding, we don't expect certain things anymore, but we do expect something. So the call to black women is for all sisters, for all highly melanated women who know what time it is or want to know what time it is and are really ready to kind of do some things. Now, over the years, I've talked to countless black women. And don't get me wrong, there's wonderful things going on all over the country that our sisters are doing. But for the 21st century and for the kind of stuff that this world, this country, et cetera, is doing and is preparing to do, we have to really ask, is that really adequate? Is that really sufficient for today? Well, I can tell you the answer is no. And again, it's not to take anything away because it is applied and it's wonderful. However, it leaves us too vulnerable. The reason why the sex trafficking has escalated all over the country, the rapes, the murders, the incarceration, the beatings, et cetera, of our women and girls. The reason why our women feel the necessity to wear these eyelashes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm down with, whatever makes you feel better and, you know, what you think might look better or what does look better. I mean, you know, who am I? I don't have nothing to say about what people do. But come on. If you're in any major city, I know y'all been in a downtown area. See, it's one thing when you do, like, some kind of, like, you know, redefinition or addition, you know, to some degree, highlighting, as you might want to say. But, sisters, listen, some of the stuff I've seen, some of the lashes that I've seen, I mean, what are we doing? Why? What is it about? Anyway, we're going to have that conversation another time. We're going to do it tonight, but another time, because somebody's got to say something and ask the question, is that a way of beautification? Is that a way of making a statement? What is it? I'd like to know. I really do, because, again, I'm not talking about the highlight or the you know, I'm seeing stuff that just, I mean, it's crazy looking. Put it mildly. And I'm saying, if some black women don't say something about this, these young girls think that that's what they should do. So enough of that. We're going to do something, say something. And again, this is not a shot to tell nobody what they should do, how they should do it. It's merely to raise the issue and ask some questions. Do you think that makes you beautiful? Do you know why you're doing that? You know, we've got to ask these questions, particularly for our young girls. Anyway, we'll get back to that conversation another time. But, again, very shortly, we're going to talk with Sister Tawanda Jones, and then after that, we are going to talk with Brother Lee Robinson, again, Africa on the Move, and he is going to talk with us about and give us an excellent report and updates on what's going on in Cuba and, of course, his recent travels to Venezuela. Again, the call to black women, yep, we will reenact what happened 70 years ago. 70 years ago, over 100, I think altogether was maybe like 150, something like that. Black women came together in Washington, D.C. as a result of the call to what was then the Negro women. And it was inspired by a poem, the poem by Via Richards, titled A Black Woman Speaks, and let me tell you, if you haven't heard that poem or read that poem, you need to. I will definitely be sharing it with you in the very near future, but for now, again, the call to black women is now in action, in place. We will meet in Washington, D.C., October the 20,
sorry, no. September the 30th through October the 2nd, which is the same time that they met in Washington, D.C. in 1951. Now, the call to black women, or the call to Negro women at that time, was done by an array of sisters from different areas of social justice, activity, struggle, whichever you prefer. Shirley Du Bois, of course, Bea Richards, again, who launched it or initiated it with the poem. And by the way, they had a group that they started called the Sojourners for Truth and Justice. Well, we are now also MWM, A Million Black Women Rising. We have formed a group that you can now become a member of, the Sojourners for Truth, Self-Determination, and Justice. And again, we will meet, our first meeting will be in Washington, D.C., from September the 30th through October the 2nd. Now, for those who have been keeping up with what we found is, you have to really, if you're going to talk about building a movement, then you got to move. You got to do things. And it has to be ongoing. It's got to be consistent. And it has to connect the black dot all across the board. So this will be just one of several things that we'll be doing, meaning the Call to Black Women meeting in Washington, D.C. But again, for those who don't know, or for those who do know, we have already made our request to President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris to meet with them. As they did in 1951, those women made the call to meet with the President of the United States. And what triggered or what kind of propelled them to do that was there was a black woman who was being charged with murder. And she was being charged with murder because she killed the white man who raped her or attempted to rape her. I forget which one, but definitely she killed him. And so she was going to trial. And so these women came together in support of her and the fact that that was the norm. During that time period, during that era, it meant nothing for white men to rape black women. And very little would be said or done. And so the women came together, and their position, of course, was, again, to meet with the president to talk about their issue. Well, we're going to do something similar. We're going to meet to talk about their issue because we do have a national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. But also we're going to talk about, we want to know what their position is on reparations. We want to be real clear about that. We don't want to guess. We want to hear some outright statements. No dancing around, no pussyfooting around. We're going to ask some very clear statements. Now, again, the women did that in 1951. The issues, some of the issues are a little different, but we are, again, reenacting, using this as a teachable moment, but also furthering the struggle, the kind of fervor, the kind of tenacity that has been demonstrated by black women such as Mother Ida B. Wells, of course, Sojourner Truth, Mother Sojourner Truth, Saint Sojourner Truth, if I may, so many. But today, we're seeing all this mixed up stuff as if we need, to be latching on to somebody else's issues or allowing them to latch on to us. So we're going to make our position very clear. And that way people can do whatever they want to do, but our position will be what it is, unapologetically and straight up. Okay. So Sister Tawana is going to be joining us in a few moments. And by the way, she will be speaking at the We Charge Genocide 21 Mass Rally that is going to take place in New York at the United Nations, September the 4th. Our position, again, is there cannot ever again be an observance, a celebration, recognition of Labor Day without there also being some real comprehension, understanding about the free labor that our people were forced into, etc. So, again, September 4th, we will be for our first mass assembly. There will be another one the following year. That one will be in Washington, D.C. But we're not going to go into that one right now. Our first step is to take a stand and a stance at the United Nations in preparation for taking the letter of intent with our first million signatures. So the September 4th activity will initiate our next phase of boots on the ground, because we're going to get that million signatures. And we're going to take that to the United Nations as a first indication that we're not playing, and that there's a million people who are saying, hey, y'all, recharge genocide. So for those who are interested, we will have sessions coming up for our Queen the Mother More Week. Yep, that'll be online, virtual, and we will talk more about what's going to be happening on September 4th. We are putting the different committees and task force together. If you are in a union, either a member or you're actually organized or whatever, now's the time to sign on to the task force for that group. A black veteran, we have a cadre task force for that group. If you are dealing with prison issues, we have a cadre task force for that group. So again, doing Queen Mother More Week, which will take place July the 25th through the 30th, because Queen Mother More's Earth Day is July the 27th. And we'll give you more information about that very, very shortly. But again, Saint Queen Mother More, we definitely have to make sure that our people know who she is, what she accomplished. Again, she was at the United Nations in the 1950s also. So who is making certain that not only her work is continued, and again, you know, we know in COBRA, they're doing what they can do. And Queen Mother More was one of the co-founders of NCOBRA and one of the first signers of the Republic of New Africa. And by the way, we're going to be giving you some more information about the Republic of New Africa shortly, again, because our position with Recharge Genocide is we want to support all of our independent groups, organizations, nations, society, etc. And we're going to get a listing of who they are, those that are really striving for self-determination, not those who just want to live off of those 501s and them grants. Nope, that ain't who we're talking about. Okay? Anyway, let's get ready to go to our live line, family, and we're going to talk with our sister, Tawana Jones, in the house. And here we go. Hey, Sister Tawanda.
Hey, sis, how are you?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I don't know where you are. Is it like thundering and lightning and all kinds of stuff going on?
Yes.
Yes,
man. It's been real crazy.
Yes.
Yes. I was at the hairdresser earlier. The power went off like 5 times. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting kind of rough out there, but I personally, I like it.
Yeah, yeah, I know that's right. But yeah,
yes,
it's a whole lot going on in B-more, sis, a whole lot.
Well, you got it, sister. The mic is yours. And again, you know, some of this is we hate to report it, but we have to, because I certainly didn't hear nothing about it until you held me up and put me onto it.
Yeah, this is really, we're in some real interesting, sad, horrible times. And it's like, what are we going to do as people to represent our people? That's where I'm at with it. But anyway, unfortunately,
right.
I just found out, and I'm so freaking pissed because I just found out. I'm like, wow,
right.
It's like not like being talked about, what's going on. So literally,
right.
You know, it's sad that like you got to hop on social media to find out everything. And long story short, I see one of the frontline brothers that, and a Muslim brother, not just any
right.
type of brother, but a Muslim
right.
brother, a Muslim
right.
brother, nice, young, dedicated Muslim brother that was in the community actively, like supporting everything, like for that had purpose and cause, literally on last West Wednesday, literally Wednesday of this week, literally, he and his child's mother and Child were in Giants at Reisterstown Plaza. It's so heartbreaking, mm-hmm. but they were at Reisterstown Plaza, which is very interesting. For one, I didn't know the mayor of our city mother works at that Giant. I mm-hmm. never knew that. Mm-hmm. But that was all discovered in a little bit of news that he tried to talk to. And I think the only reason why they put that out there is to throw off what's going on, you know, because we're murdered, literally gunned down in Giants Market. Literally shoppers were hiding behind groceries, like hiding behind their carts, like, and all we were told was pretty much that he was murdered, you know, and his child's mother was shot in the hand. But now I'm learning more because, you know, the streets start talking. And I just learned from a reliable source that the reason why his child's mother got shot in the hand, she was pushing a baby stroller. So they ain't even mentioning none of that. And, like, everybody
wait,
is crying. Like,
say that part again. Why did she get shot?
She pretty much was pushing the child stroller at the time. Mm-hmm. At the time when all this chaos and confusion and everything was going on, she was pretty much pushing the child stroller, and that's how she got shot in the hand. So all the media is reporting is that, you know, he was murdered, that she, and they're not even making a relation and connection that they were together. They just was like, a young man was murdered, you know,
right.
And then they said a female was shot in the hand, and that's all you hear. They never said,
right.
Oh, a couple was in there. A brother from Nation of Islam was in this market, literally.
Right.
And the tales that I heard, and I don't know because I'm still getting bits and pieces of it. Like I said, the news is not reporting anything. They just want to keep on saying, oh, the mayor, mother work at the market. Who gives a damn? Who works at that market? And then come to find out, they're not giving us information on who the security guard person is, what, you know, place he works from, like, you know, where's his job, like, who, like, where's, you know, the company name of the security company. None of this stuff is being, everything is being swept under the rug as we're speaking. And I heard that he was a white security guard. The streets are saying he was a white security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And the streets are also saying the reason why he just pulled the gun out and started shooting was because the young man, he said, tried to enter the market with his shirt off or something. And he told him, you can't enter the market with your shirt off. And he just pulled out a gun and started shooting. That's what the streets are saying. So I don't know what's true, what's not.
God.
And then they said that you know, the mother of his child was pushing the baby, and that's how she got shot in the hand. But little we don't know if he got suspended. And then they're saying he might be facing criminal charges. We don't know anything. Why isn't he locked up immediately on the spot?
Wow.
But yet, and then, let me tell your listening audience this real quick. So depending on who people are, it's crazy. So in, like, about a couple months ago, there was a black security guard that worked up at the shopping center, and they turned the market into, I think it's called a Good Foods Market, and it's at the Alameda Shopping Center. And literally, he got upset about his paycheck, and they wind up, you know, calling the police, but then they claimed that he started shooting, like the police started shooting at him inside the market too. But then he made it outside the market, but then they wound up going to his house and killing him. But immediately, you knew what it was. They said the whole task force out there, and they killed his brother. They killed him. But what's the difference from this other security guard? My question. Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, why aren't they saying something? I mean, you know, what I mean by saying something, when I read the little blurb, because that's what it pretty much was, like a blurb. You know, this happened.
That's what it was.
Got, you know, he's dead. He got shot. Didn't say how he got shot, who shot
how,
him.
How, right, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and definitely not the why, like, just
why
he
at
got
all.
Shot.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stuff is that?
Yep.
Well, I mean, when do you see a murder and they don't give you some other kind of details?
Nothing. What happened? Ain't say, and you don't hear no detail like an altercation occurred. Nothing.
Right.
So, yep. And that,
yeah,
that's be clear. That is that's purposely done. Like that's purposely. That's intentionally done. Intentionally.
Yeah, that's real shady. Yep. That is definitely shady. And just for a point of clarity, it appears that the brother was in the nation. You know, when I looked at some of the posting, it looked like, you know, the attire and everything was, you know, his nation. Nation of Islam. So I am sure, you know, within the next couple of days, I am sure we will definitely know more, because if in fact he was in the nation, I can't see them not, you know, providing some real kind of information.
We'll just see what happens. And the sad part about it, I know they just had the candlelight visual on Friday, and I didn't even learn anything about it until Friday. I would have been there.
See, Sukhawana, this is again why it's so important that we have our own everything in terms of media, communications, organizations, and I mean really on the point, on the spot organizations. We don't have that in our communities, and particularly that's not independent.
We don't. Right.
Well,
at all.
Well, I tell you, that's going to change for us women. Again, you know, sometimes you got to pick your area of you know, work that you have to put more time and energy in. And so, you know, since that's kind of the area that I've been placed in, I'm going to make sure that our women and girls get a little more than what we've been able to get and do. So, family, y'all going to hear some stuff very soon. It's going to be kind of difficult for some, because they're not going to be acclimated to hearing our women and girls doing certain things. But I can tell you straight up, there are some clubs that's getting ready to be formed, and we'll be presenting them at our upcoming summit in October. Those clubs will be riflery, archery, fencing, and, boxing. Yep. These will be clubs, for lack of a better terminology. Because, again, in working with young girls, what I realized is that we're talking about behavior and what they're doing, Sister Tawanda, but we're not talking about what we're going to do to help deal with some of that. And so because there's this anger and even rage, we have to create the kinds of things where we can say, okay, look, y'all, you got an issue? I'll tell you what, we can deal with this. If you really want to, you know, I'm just saying, offer some alternatives. You see, conflict resolution, y'all want to fight? Okay, get them some gloves.
Right.
Now, that might sound a little strange for some people, but y'all might not live in the city. I do, and others do, and we see what's going on. And these girls are punching each other out, all right? And so we just sit back and think, you know, whatever we want to think, but if there's not mechanisms put in place to help deal with some of this, we're going to see some stuff that we really don't want to see, and we'll see it to a greater extent. So anyway, I digress. So anything else going on there in B-More? Because I'll be getting stuff all the time. There's always something going on there.
Oh, yeah. And also, it's just like I said, it's just a lot. And just about the brother, so my sister was sending me, and the things that I said, that is, like, true, the accusation, but the news is not reporting, like, so you actually kill somebody that you see that don't have a shirt on, so you know they're not on, and you're going to do all that for that? Like, no, that's ridiculous. But, and I'm glad you asked me what else is going on. So tomorrow is the 8-year commemoration of my brother. Unfortunately, it's the day that they murdered my brother. So I will be in Baltimore in the Kentmore and Kelsway area at the exact time he was murdered at 7 o'clock. So definitely going to be out there. Yeah, it's like, so it's been like a hard time just leading up to this. It's like been an emotional week just knowing that my brother should still be here. Like, he would have been 52 years old just living his life. I could have made old man jokes and all that, and I can't even do any of that now. It's
right,
like ridiculous.
Right.
Oh, I'm over it.
And what is there any updates, Sister Tawanda, on the the demand for having the case reopened? One of my sisters was asking earlier today about that. You know, she heard one of our programs, previous programs, and wanted to know, was there any indication of them saying anything or whatever?
So pretty much it's still like slow motion, like Billy Ocean, to sum it up, because I thought everything was going smooth and fine when we had the little Doug and Pony show meeting. But to me, that's what I'm going to call it until I see that they're really going to do something. So at this point, they're, to me, is pretty much trying to – so they have to pretty much go and establish, like, a group of doctors that they're going to have to go over the Dr. Fowler's information, because he was the one that pretty much lied on all the brothers and sisters that were murdered by police just to get the police off. And the crazy, the interesting part is they're not going to use any of the doctors that testified against, or that pretty much said when he was testifying in George Floyd case, there was over 154 doctors or 300 doctors that said that, no, he's foul, he's lying. So they said they can never use none of those doctors, so that way, they're going to pick their own team of doctors to go over the evidence, the new evidence, to see what conclusions. So right now I think they're trying to establish everything at this point. They're on that type of ground. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. So,
and so, again, what I was telling Sister Rahima when we spoke earlier is that's why with the things that we're doing, such as the We Charge Genocide 21, because that will be one of the messages that will be delivered that day. If, in fact, there hasn't been something done by then, we will be able to, put it out there to the people and to the world, because the world is going to see this. You ain't going to go up to no United Nations and not think you're not going to get coverage, world coverage. I mean, anybody that don't understand that strategy, then, what can I tell you? But you're not going to be in New York City at the United Nations and it not get adequate coverage. That's just ridiculous. So the point is, whatever we do that day, whatever information we get circulated that day, it's gonna go out there, and that's part of the whole purpose.
Let me ask you a question: is it just gonna be one day, or is it gonna be the weekend?
Well, that's going to be the one day. Now, we may end up doing some sessions, and again, we're contacting a couple of the colleges up there because, again, with COVID, we still don't know to what extent, what's going to be open. But I will share this, and I thank you for asking that question, Sister. Keep in mind that this is like the prerequisite, meaning the part two will be in D.C. next year. So, and that's going to be a summit plus the mass rally. Because, see, remember, there are embassies in D.C., right? See, we are very strategic. So while the head building, et cetera, administration is in New York, the United Nations, they do have Human Rights Commission and so forth. So we're going to show a presence there. But the second strategy, the second phase, which is the following year, will be in D.C. And that way we give notice to this government, you see. So again, I don't want to go too fast for folks, but I just want you to see. But you asked a good question, Sister Tawanda. So what we're doing is contacting Columbia University. And also it's called the John Jay Justice Center. That's where Malcolm X's daughter teaches there, but it's also a college that a lot of people hold their different social justice forums and stuff, because it's pretty, progressive. So we're just waiting to kind of see what is feasible for the couple of days leading up to that. But again, with the COVID, people are just kind of getting back into, the regular flow. But we're looking at both of those colleges. And again, the reason why we're looking at Columbia is because that's where Paul Robeson went to law school.
So what we're doing this year is connected to Paul Robeson, because he's the one that took the Recharge Genocide petition to the United Nations in 1951. See, so we try to tie things in such a way that people can get information that's historic, that's very, very important. So again, Paul Robeson is a graduate of Columbia Law School. So we thought that if we are able to do some other sessions, be it forums, be it a town hall meeting or what have you, those locations would be ideal to have it. Lastly, let me give folks a quick update, because we're working on the route for where we will assemble and so forth. And so I can't give a lot of information out just yet because we are still putting it together, but I will say this. The call has gone out to the black bikers. So in other words, in every city and every state, we're putting the call out to bikers, black bikers. They could be regular bike, like pedal bike, or they could be motorbike or whatever. But the black bikers, the call has gone out, and we're meeting with some of them, some of the clubs, some of the associations, because we have a plan of action. When we step forward, oh, it's going to be so powerful, mm-hmm. Sister Tawanda. It's going to be so powerful. They're going to know that we in New York and that we there to stand and to demand justice. So when we do our Reparatory Justice Virtual Conference is coming up for the Queen Mother More Week next week, we'll be going over some of the, what's going to be happening on September 4th. What the projections are and so forth and so on. So, yep.
And so what time, let me ask you a question. What time is that going to be happening on September 4th? Because I just looked at my calendar and I forgot I was in a wedding. Because I knew that I had a wedding in September. And I'm like, that was a lie. I just looked, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, OMG.
Oh, wow.
And the wedding is in the evening. Yeah, the wedding is at 5 o'clock in the evening. That's what I was like, what time is the event happening?
You haven't gotten
like,
any of the flyers or anything for September?
Listen, sis, let me tell you, when you send me stuff, I don't get anything. They got it completely right. I have not got man flyer. Now, that's why I was shocked when you said it. I'm like that's my first time hearing about it.
We sent
like,
that out over a month ago.
Never
we
got
sent
it.
That out
so
in May.
Oh, my God, are you serious? Wow, never
oh,
got
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Never. Never got it.
Yep.
But
we've
you
been
know,
sending
I would have
out that
responded
flyer since
like,
May.
Wow.
Because we wanted people to share it. You know, we figure if the
yeah, because you know I would have been
sharing on flyers.
Yes, let me
yeah.
tell you exactly. I ain't get no flyer, nothing.
Oh
the last
gosh.
Thing I got from you, listen. The last email I got from you was talking about one of your shows at nighttime. Like who you was gonna have on your show, literally at night. Like one of your shows. That was it. That was it. I can show you the email.
Wow.
I'm a screenshot. And let you see. That's how they playing with your
wow.
emails. I never got it. Never.
And,
yep.
and even in
and
the text, because we had texted also.
Right. Like I didn't
we
get no text. You know, I would have responded. Wow.
Oh,
I never.
Man,
you know, I would have responded like this. I can't wait or something. Like I definitely.
Oh my god.
Like gosh. I got the shot you sent me today, and that's why I was looking like, oh, okay, cool. Remember the text you sent me today? And I was like, okay, cool. That was the first text I got. And I'm like, awesome. When I responded, awesome. Because, you know, anytime you send me a text, I'm always responding. So if you ever send me a text,
wow.
and I say, awesome, cool, thanks, sis. You know,
yeah,
I ain't getting
yeah.
nothing.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's deep. Yeah, we've been sending
yeah.
that thing out since May. Since May. Because
oh,
we did our virtual conference.
Mm-hmm. Wow. No, I ain't getting out.
Yep.
I would have been on it and everything. But look, another sidebar real quick. Just got, so my sister that's been, like, putting me on point, I love this queen, she pretty much sent me the stuff. So WBAL News is now reporting, and it was confirmed that he didn't have on the shirt. And the crazy part, they literally killed this man in front of his child, and the baby stroller
oh.
was bloody. Filled the poor infant
oh
baby had the blood of his parent all over his body, his or her body. It just says the infant baby. I'm going to send that to you.
Oh,
like,
wow.
You got to be kidding me. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking.
Wow, wow.
Yep.
That is crazy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow. But, you know,
and
again,
my thing is we need to be out on the streets shutting down that whole shopping center.
That's right.
Shutting it down, like,
right.
Not demanding that they don't spend a damn dime. Like what the hell? Like, we going to let our brother just go out like that? Like, really? Like, hell no.
Wow. Well, Vision says, if you decide to do something, let me know, because you ain't but a couple hours away from me, so I don't have no problem.
So the next time I do one of my outside West Lanes, I'm going to be up there. The next
okay.
one that I do,
yes.
it's going to be
yes.
right up
okay.
there.
Okay, yep. Got you.
Right
yep.
there.
All right.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yep.
Not yep. Absolutely.
But keep on sending me that information. That's cause I'm so upset that I didn't get Nan Fly about what you're telling me. I'm like really
wow.
low. Like, OMG.
Wow. Yep. We've been kicking it out since May.
Since May. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I will make sure.
That is interesting.
I don't know how to send it to you then, because I know we send an email. We also send it out in text and text messages. I don't know. I mean,
you know
are
what
you
I'm gonna
on
do?
Like
I'm
Instagram?
Gonna give you my
oh, you're on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I'm on
you're
Facebook.
Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on
okay.
Facebook.
Yeah, you should have got it on your Facebook too. But I'll make sure, because we're changing a lot of our internal stuff. We're shifting over. And cleaning houses,
okay.
they say. So,
okay.
You know, some things are getting ready to change. But yeah, we'll make it to your Facebook, okay? You might get a Facebook request.
Sure. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. You might get a Facebook request from Araminta Speaks.
Araminta Speaks. Cool.
Okay, then that'll be us. Okay, so
okay.
if you get, you know, just say yeah, whatever,
okay.
and that way we'll have you linked in that way. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And I was gonna ask you another thing. Is it possible too that if y'all can find out, like, if any way we can Skype into? Because I still want to be a part of this. Like, if I gotta step out, you know me, I step out anyway.
Right.
Make time
right.
for the call. Zoom in, tune in. However. Like,
okay.
so if you can find out any way I can Skype in, because this is very important, and you know what I'm saying? But if I wasn't already committed to this wedding, I definitely would have been like, okay, I'm there, but I'm like a part of the wedding. Like, so, yeah, but definitely.
Oh,
that
we
got to
make sure you get the... You got to make sure you get the date for next year, because
right.
we put this
That's
one out,
crazy.
Like, you know, like I said, in May,
but
definitely...
You know what to do? Sus, if you can, for now on, if you send me something important like that, call me personally and say, sis, did you get what I just said to make sure? Because that's the only way I'm going to get it. That's how they play. I'm telling you, they playing
wow.
games. They already know. They are playing games. Just call me and say, hey,
wow.
sis, I know it's like, you know, sometimes when you don't hear from you, like, I haven't heard from you. Just call and let me
right,
know.
Right.
Like, just let me know. Yep. Just let me know. So.
Wow. I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll definitely mm-hmm. make sure. Definitely make
all
sure
right.
you're going to get that. All right.
All right,
my sister. Yeah. Well, again, always good information. And, you know, keep me abreast of, you know, when the next West Wednesday that's going to be out.
Sure
and
will.
I will definitely make sure I put that on the calendar, because that right there,
yeah.
that needs to be, that
mm-hmm.
needs some serious.
Mm-hmm.
And again, mm-hmm. I'm sure. Because I think the brother that's Baltimore for the Nation, I think I know who he is. So, yeah. If the brother that got killed is in the Nation, I'm sure we're going to be hearing something real soon.
Yeah, because I know what
sure.
we're talking about, because he was out there doing a visual. So I know exactly what he's talking about. He did the visual.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he did the visual. So, yep.
Okay.
All right,
my sister. Well, you know what? Stay right there for one moment, because there might be a comment or a question
okay.
for you. I'm going to go to caller at 9498. 9498. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, A New Day.
Hello, Sister Filet. How you feel?
Oh,
hello, Tawanda.
Hey, Brother Ray. How you doing?
I'm not sure if Darren Muhammad mentioned this on the State of the City. I don't know your relationship with him. I sure would like to know, but no Nation of Islam people walk around with their shirt off.
No, that didn't even make sense. They're very respectful.
Now I do subscribe to the Baltimore Times, and they say in the general the guard did not work for a giant. He worked for a bank. According to the subscribe to the Baltimore Sun Times. And I'm looking right here, and it definitely says they told the family that the guard did not work for Giant, but instead for a nearby bank. And it's very usually any brothers associated with the Nation of Islam is all never with. They don't have their shirt off.
Right.
They're very respectful.
Yes.
They follow the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. So it's something strange going on there with this. You know.
And Brother Ray Ray, I just want to say that you hit it on the nose, because when I heard that, I said that's just another way for them to throw sand on our brother's name. For one, every picture I've seen this brother in, well-dressed with the red bow tie, you get what I'm saying, with the suit on, never seen him in an inappropriate fashion. Like, what the heck would he be in on the side of a grocery store with his woman with his shirt off? It makes no sense. Not at night.
They are always very respectful, trying to make it seem like
some foolishness. That's why I'm like, that don't even sound right. Like, that could have been, because one, I ain't never seen man brother of Nation of Islam without being having on the suit, period. Without having on that nice gear and they looking nice. I never saw that. He said he was an electrician.
He was a mechanic. He was an electrician. So it's very strange that there's a cover-up with this.
Right.
And sometimes, a lot of times, police do overtime as security guards. A lot, even in New York, a lot of police do overtime.
Right.
So there's just something strange going on with this. I'm looking at it right now because I subscribe to the Times. I see the mother, Miss Patricia. Is that the wife? Patricia Watson, is that the wife that sells the shirts, trying to raise the money?
I'm wondering. That's a good question.
Well, they got a picture of her. Patricia, I don't know if it's his wife, or no, it's probably his mother, family. Patricia Watson wears a shirt that the Nicholas family. Oh, this is just Patricia Watson that was doing work. All right.
Now I'm finding out he was an off-duty police officer. They get sicker and sicker. That was just
That was a straight execution.
It was everything. And then the fact that they chose where the mayor mother worked at, they wanted this stuff to be big. This is crazy.
Wow.
Like, it makes no sense.
And then you got the stepfather who then killed the stepson and had him stashed where he kept his gun.
I told you that last week.
You know, because only reason why I got it because I do read the Sun Times and I do listen to State of the City with Brother Darren. I don't know your actual feelings with him. I would like to know offline how you feel about him, so I could know how you know, to tell him or put stuff so he can announce. But that's about it. It just seems strange because anything associated with the nation, especially the Nation of Islam, bow tie, respectful, upright. They don't hunch their shoulders. They very rarely wear sneakers. They very rarely wear sneakers and stuff like that.
Really.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And Malcolm
right.
X had always
yep.
says he wore a shirt and tie. He didn't care how hot it was because it was from
yep.
the discipline from Elijah
right.
Muhammad and the Nation of Islam.
Right.
So
that's
there's something
right.
else going on with this,
and
I hope they
say,
get.
In every picture I've seen him in, he got a suit on and he was selling bean pies and everything.
Yeah,
in the
so,
final call, like get out of here with the foolishness.
It's like the I guess something will be shown, but I'll keep abreast of it because I do read the Baltimore Sun-Times
mm-hmm.
every day. So thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
And,
I'm glad you mentioned that because that is so on point. That's right. You,
and,
you never see them without a shirt on.
You will be getting a heads up on there. They almost finished the renovations at the Mackey's. So we just laying low. We have no information, just waiting on the go-ahead because
mm-hmm.
we do have a few other events going on at that location, and everybody's just waiting. So thank you very much. It's just a shame that that happened to this guy, but
it's
upright, you know. But the hatred is out there. You can see it in the faces of of the European, the hatred, the anger, you could just see it, you know, and we didn't vote to send no corporations over to China and all these different
mm-hmm.
places. And
mm-hmm.
it was their own people that voted for NAFTA, GATT, and free trade that all the jobs left. So I still have a problem with why the hell you getting mad at black folks. And we really don't own nothing at all, but we are once again the scapegoat, and this is what's going on. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Not that
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for that. All right. Yeah, this is really, you know, as we begin to think about it more, yeah, it's something going on
yeah.
here, so.
No, but yep. that's why I was trying to highlight those facts of what the streets were saying before it was reported on the news, because I knew that it didn't sound right. It sounded like just how when Detective Shooter was gunned down by his own, and they try to say this man killed himself. They killed a Baltimore cop. He killed himself when he should have been testifying against the elite gun trace task force. And this brother
right.
that's saying knowledge, that's standing up for against police. Times he's standing up for just humanity. You know what I mean? A young
right.
brother,
mm-hmm.
a young respectful brother, no criminal record, nothing. And even if he did have a criminal record, does that mean you execute a family that's going into a market? And
right.
that's all that they could tell us is little bits and pieces? And then they will act like they ain't know his name, they ain't know who he was and all this stuff. The days later, this happened on a Tuesday, then Thursday you just reporting it? Like, this is crazy. So,
yeah,
this is Baltimore.
Yeah.
Be more cruddy. Be more crackball. Yep.
Wow.
That's why I always put it out there. You know, I don't have no filter system. We're always telling people the truth. Whether they won't believe me, you believe me. Whether you don't, oh, wow. I mean, that's on you. But I ain't going to never lie to the people. I don't have nothing to gain by lying. Nothing to gain. And then I just found
no,
out another right. one of our young brothers, may he rest in peace, Joseph Kent. I just found out that he passed away. I'm trying to figure out what happened to him, but he done came to West Wednesday and did die-ins and everything. Another young brother gone. And all I go on Facebook, they talking about rest in peace, Joseph Kent. And I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know what happened. So I'm just
wow.
like, it's way too much. But we got to watch out how they keep killing our frontline people and nobody's saying nothing. That's why I say, you know, God forbid something happened to me, how we know they're not going to do nothing? But y'all just going to talk about it? Like it's crazy. Like, this is ridiculous.
Wow.
Like, how many more of our
wow.
brothers and sisters got to be assassinated? How many? How many more? And I just told y'all, and I reported the last time I was on your show about how that killer cop, he killed his own stuff. And then, oh, yeah, so when I talked to you last week, it wasn't confirmed. Remember, they said they was waiting for the medical examiner's office to get
right,
back
right.
with them. Well, come to find out, the child died the same way my brother died, from positional asphyxia. So, It's just crazy. They kind of found out the mother had went that same day and got the second peace order out on him and begged him to get her son from out of that home. Go and show up and he in a wall, a hole in the wall, Killer Banks. Like, this is ridiculous. And then we got the House Negro Warren Brown representing him. And I said it, and I hope he's listening to it. I don't care. I'm calling these coons out. Yes, I am. I'm telling you, I'm over these coons. I'm over them. Camber chasers, poverty pimps, I'm over it. I'm over it. I say it to their face. I'm just like, and then now, I'm trying to figure out still what's going on with my, our dear sweet, Corinne Gaines, because now I found out that they're doing another march or something. I saw what they're saying that the state's attorney, she's supposed to be present or something. And she a joke. She the biggest joke in the city. And I said that, too. So,
wow.
Take all these jokes and folks. It's crazy. Because my thing is, when you see wrong, you call it out. When you see right, you acknowledge it, you say thanks, you give thanks. You get what I'm saying? When I see wrong, I'm going to call it out. We got people just dying and everybody quiet. They get murdered out here, wiped out. They killed that city Safe Street worker last week. Soon as the brothers announced on the news, they on the news, I say like on the Monday, saying, well, they was proud. We have no killers in Cherry Hill in the whole year while all this blood is just trickling down all over the city. They was being so thankful, giving thanks, that they did not have a homicide literally in Cherry Hill. And then Lord turn around, not even 48 hours later, a Sixth Street worker gunned down in Cherry Hill. Another second Sixth Street worker. They out here purging, man. I'm telling you, they out here purging. And I don't care what nobody say. They send an email strong, loud, and clear. They believe that. And then the dirtiest thing, you're going to say a brother from the Nation of Islam walking around with his shirt off. Like, get out of here. He's going to go inside of a market without his shirt on. Like, that makes no sense.
I can't wait to hear what the mayor is going to say. The young black man, mayor.
All he's saying is, his mother was okay. That's all I'm hearing right at this point. His mother was okay because his mother worked in the same market. But then the one would have to ask, God forbid, if his mother would have been the one that got shot up by that killer working there, what would have been said? And most importantly, what would have been done as of now? What would have been done? Could you imagine? I want everybody to hear my voice and let this sink in. Could you imagine that, God forbid, if it was not our brother that got shot and his blood spilling all over his child's stroller, could you imagine, God forbid, that if it was the man's mother, she wouldn't be in this damn cop, this killer, this maniac, start cursing in the market, could have hit anybody and hit his mother. Do you think our city will be shut down right now? I believe and know it would. Why isn't it shut down for our brother? Why can't we get that same type of treatment? It's ridiculous. That's what I'm wondering. So what do you think would have been done if it would have been his mother? And all the news would say, his mother. Then they put his mother's business out there.
Yeah.
I didn't know them to know that his mother worked at the market. That's his business. Down the whole world, but y'all so hard pressed trying to cover up a story. You better put out other stuff that can, you know, block our minds from thinking about a young family being executed. Damn near could have killed his girlfriend, the baby, all that.
Right.
This ain't making national news. Are you serious?
Wow.
Like, this is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Well, I'm sure by next week's program, we will definitely have some updates. I am pretty certain of that.
I'm disappointed. I'm real. I'm not going to lie. I feel some type of way. Because my thing, this was a brother where are all our brothers from Nation of Islam? Why is everybody quiet? Why are we allowing this? They not even touching their own. I used to get a little upset because I'd be like, damn, sometimes why the Nation of Islam brothers not out there watching over me at the West Wednesday when I was getting death threats?
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like I'm a queen. Like, what y'all want me to be in Sandra Bland? And then not to mention, not to mention that I was,
now that's real talk.
You know, I was literally pulled over this week for nothing. Like, literally, stopped on my way to work. Literally. And he gonna say, I didn't put on my signal when I turned at the corner, when I made a right turn. I'm like, are you kidding? It made me late for work. And that's all he was saying. Do you want to come to my car? Tell me, I got my body cam on. Oh, you got your body cam on? Good. Good. So y'all can see me flying while you pulling me over, stalking me. I didn't even know you were pulling me over, sir. What are you doing? Like, this is ridiculous. So, but I just don't really feel
safe.
Right now, I really don't feel safe. I'm just being honest. I really don't feel safe. We get a brother murdered, and ain't nobody standing up and standing out doing nothing, but we just talk about it, sharing it. So, God forbid it be something to me. I know I ain't going to do a damn thing. I know that off the top. I don't want no streets open up after me if I'm not here. I don't want my flowers when I'm gone.
I know that's right. Well, that's why it's so important now. That is why it's so important that sisters really get more inclined to being, you know, able to protect ourselves. I mean, you know, we have oftentimes the children are with us. And, I mean, what are we going to do? I mean, we know that our natural instincts will have us to respond. But we got to do more and better than just, you know, responding based on the cuff of just, you know, responding. We need to know specifically. Right. Hit somebody in this area. Hit them in that area. You know, what do you use is
exactly.
Right in your bag. You know, we
exactly.
need to be real clear on, you know,
mm-hmm.
not being victims.
Mm-hmm. And then our response need to be every time one of our brothers and sisters are murdered. We, like, where are our black folks coming out, standing up, stepping up, shutting stuff down? Nowhere. You get what I'm saying? Like when Timothy Clemens was murdered in his house in front of his damn kids. Where was the outrage? You know what I'm saying? Where was that same?
Right.
Why can't everybody get that same Freddie Gray type of comfort? You get what I'm saying? Like everybody pulled together, and it's just only unfair when cameras and when stuff start burning down that we come together and be like, oh, did somebody's life only matter when a store burned down?
Right.
That's ridiculous. Like, we had Muslim brothers, Christians, everybody holding hands, and that's how it's supposed to be each and every time they kill one of us. They need
right.
to know, like,
sure.
what if, I mean, I'm going to be real with you, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care because they haven't got my phone tapped out. I'm not getting none of your messages. I'm not getting reports left so they can go. I'm going on the record. I'm wondering what will happen if every time they killed us, they start disappearing. What will happen then?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen then?
Right. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They just straight
things
disappear.
Will change.
Like all the missing girls that we don't know about, we never see again. What if that happened to them?
That's right.
That's a question. It's a question. It's a goddamn
yep.
question.
Things would
so
change. They would change quite quickly.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You got to lay around. You
wow.
ain't even safe going to a grocery store with your family, being a respectful young man, a community person. Let me go grab. Somebody been going to go get the baby some milk. You get what I'm saying? Let's go grab the baby some milk. Now you got a white maniac that they're hiding on a rampage, and they quiet. You don't know his name. You ain't see his face. You don't know. They talking about, they think about, they don't know if he charged. He should have been charged off the top. Off the
That's
top.
Right.
Literally off the top. So.
Well, my sister, the sooner we get organized to the degree of reality, the sooner things will change. Until then, these people
mm-hmm.
are going to do what they want to do. They do it the way
mm-hmm.
they want to do it because they're not feeling. It's like you said, once people feel like, wow, what if that happens to me or us or them?
Exactly.
They ain't feeling no kind of way about none
of
that right
nothing.
Now.
All they doing is pretty much getting rich off our pain. We getting played off our pain because pretty much when we do all these big pros and all that stuff, they getting paid overtime to watch over top of us and they're laughing. They're
reliving
their sick psychopath,
right.
And they're laughing and reliving. That's why I literally been crying my eyes out all day, because when I go in public tomorrow at my brother's commemoration, I'm not going to give this man to you. Sick, MF, they get hard off of that kind of stuff. They real sick in statistics. You ain't sick
that's
in statistics.
Right.
They get hard pressed off of that kind of stuff. Like, they get pleasures off of that. For real, they get pleasures off of that. Remember, they was the same ones hanging us from trees, lynching us, and they doing a whole party watching us, watching brothers and sisters and mothers and, you know, family members just passing away, you know, at their hands.
So it's really sad.
Again, I suspect in the next couple of days we'll be hearing some more. So we'll recap some of this next week, my sister, and definitely provide any updates. And I'm pretty sure we will have some updates.
Well, let me know if you have some. And when I hear some more, you know, I'll definitely touch base with you. But enough is enough. Like, I'm past it. It's like, how many more? I'm sick of seeing it. I'm sick of talking about it. It's like, what's the action? Tell me what's the next action. That's where I'm at.
Dang, that's
what's
it.
The next
there
action?
It is now.
That's
it's
where
going
I'm at.
To be
what,
more
what's
until
doing?
We,
right.
yeah, until
what
we get
doing?
To that point.
Then keep on.
Yeah, no doubt.
Keep on.
No doubt.
And it's more every night because they purging in the city. You keep on. I mean, when I say sus, they are killing these teenagers left and right. I'm talking about 16-year-olds getting gunned down for no reason. And ain't nobody looking back saying, damn, these little babies, they preparing for school. They ain't even out here beefing. How's they getting killed? What, the doctors not saving people no more? Or they saving who they want to save? They saving who they want to save. They saving who they want to save. Let's be crystal clear, because ain't a damn person say my cousin Tavon Anders, he got shot one time and he gone. But yet you can see a white victim get shot 10 times and survive. They're going to patch up every hole. They're going to make sure they did everything to save that person's life. But when it's a brown sister, black sister, man, my sister Paula Muhammad rushed to the hospital just when I didn't watch the queen and was feeling COVID sick symptoms. You met the beautiful queen. Walked in, and she just said, well, let me just stay in the hospital just to kind of get myself together because, you know, I'm going to be having to rest. The doctors would have, but she wasn't, like, sick. She was a healthy woman, a vegan and everything. And you just straight die? She go straight into cardiac arrest? No. Like, ridiculous. I'm over it. Got me to the point I'm scared to go to the goddamn hospital. What y'all going? When I had got my foot, I twisted my foot running from a cicada. I was scared to go in there then. I ain't even going to lie. Y'all might try to give me something to knock me completely off my feet. That's how I feel. Yeah, instead, we got to feel like that, but you got to be smart. Look at all the ones that have been fighting that got murdered. And then they'll send out all kind of killers. It won't even be that they send out all kind. The ones you thinking are screaming, oh, yeah, we want to count. They're the same Negroes that are, they give them a couple dollars, they'll wipe you out. 2.5 seconds. Yep, so just keep me posted. I'm just on fire. I hate stuff like this. Not a hateful person, but I hate stuff like this. I really do.
I know that's
How
right.
many more? How many more? Like, at what number? Are we going to wait till it gets to 3 billion? Because we keep on adding up every year 300-plus homicides in the city. So the last cast, you want to say 5 years, we passed almost 2,000 bodies. How many more got to go? You know what I mean? If you want to be technical, how many more?
Wow, again, this is America. So we know it's going
America.
To continue. It's
America.
Going to escalate until we do what we're supposed to. They're going to do them. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that is going to change until we do what we're supposed to do. And, hey, some of us are definitely making those steps forward. And we, as I said before, the lines are drawn in the sand. For those who don't know, they will soon know.
Mm-hmm.
That is for certain. Because it is that time.
So, you know, it is what it is. So, my sister, I thank you. I see Brother Lee is in queue. We're going to bring him in to get our report on Venezuela and Cuba. But we will talk later on this week for sure.
Right.
And I'm going to make sure I'm going to send you. Yep, Brother Lee's coming up next. I'm going to send you, I'm going to see if I can send that flyer to you, you know, while we're talking, actually. I'm just curious.
Please do, so that way
you
I can share
see.
It. I want to share it. Yeah, try to send it now, and that way I can share
it. Okay, I will. I will do that in
and
a few minutes.
Tell Brother Lee I said hello.
Yo, hey, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm going to let you tell him. Here he is right here.
Okay,
he's
cool.
Been in queue. And I'm going to let you holler at him real quick, and then we're going to go to his report. Hey, Brother Lee, you there?
Hey, Sister African, how you doing?
All right. Sister Kawanda wanted to holler at you real quick.
Well, yeah, it's always an honor to hear a freedom fighter voice, particularly Sister. And we'd like to thank you for all that she continues to do, for not only for African people, but for humanity in general.
Well, thank you, Brother Lee. I appreciate it.
All right, my sister. Give me a few minutes. I'm going to get ready to send this. So watch your phone in a few minutes.
I sure will.
I'll talk to you
and
later.
And everybody,
on.
Listen
all
to
right.
me. Don't forget $2 Tuesday. $2 Tuesday.
Yes.
And I will
yes,
be there
yes.
Tuesday sending you something, sis. I got
all
you.
All right, my sister. Appreciate that.
All right. Love you, queen. Talk to you later.
Back at you. Peace. All right, Brother Lee, back to you. And so, again, wow. I mean, you know, what can we say? You know, as I heard Brother Ray Ray mention what he mentioned, it just sparked something in my brain, and it was like, yeah, how about that? But, you know, I'm sure we will hear more about it in the next couple of days, so I guess we just have to wait to hear what the reports is going to be. But anyway, going back to you, my brother. So you're black in the USA.
Yeah. Black in the United States of so-called America.
Wow.
And also, Sister Empress, I would like to just say that, you know, this was a very interesting trip for me. This was my first time going to Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think I function more as a observer.
Okay.
You know, this during this time period, during June the 19th to the 27th, maybe some should be to the 30th, the Venezuela people put together two conferences around the same time. One was dealing with the workers and trade unions, and the other one was dealing with the Afro-descente. And when you look at the Afro-descente people in the Western Hemisphere, but actually it was globally, to come together to do, I think, basically address two issues. And they had a previous meeting for this one. So many things came out of the first meeting. I think this one more were to be affirmed. Some of the decisions that were made, excuse me for one second, was to affirm, you know, what took place at the first meeting. I was not privy to the first meeting. We first would like to give our thanks to the United Socialist People Party of Venezuela, PSUV, for the invitation. And I went as a representative of the APIPGC as well as African Women Association. And in terms of giving a report, we are still working on that. But what I would like to do is, to your listening audience, give y'all tonight some of my reflections of this particular tour, this particular visit, this particular engagement with African people, you know, from around the world. Most of the African people have one major thing in common since outside history and struggle was that they were African people mostly who dominated and spoke in the language of Spanish. So if you're interested in being in a setting where Africans speak Spanish, a very small number of us spoke English. So that dynamic in itself was really interesting. But what that shows is that we must begin to take real seriously the importance of language, even if languages that your enemy speaks. Because there's no basis in our history. These languages were posed to our people. We speak many languages, but, you know, we should never look down upon not willing to learn other language, even if it's the language of the enemy, because our people
right.
speak these languages. Well, that was a real interesting phenomenon. And it was real interesting because one of the observations I can make from this particular meeting is that it's true that it's important for us to study our history and learn that history prior before we come into, you know, some our own existence. Because a lot of times when we do things, organize things, and have conferences, a lot of times we are under the illusion that things don't exist once we came into existence and we have no sense about history. And I said that because when we discuss how do we move forward, what should be some of our priorities and objectives. It reminded me of some of the conferences, Pan-African conferences, where Africans got together and discussed the same question 100 years ago. And it would be really interesting to hear some of the dialogue and made me reflect back to some of the conferences, because many of the issues that we face today were the same issues we faced in the past. And
right.
some of the solutions to addressing our problems remind you, if we were back in another meeting back in 1929 or 1900. Now, I understand that as a critique, particularly for the young brothers and sisters, points to learn our history so we can move forward and not to repeat our errors or not repeat those things we did before that was not successful. But it was a beautiful conference because what it does is allow you to give you a better engagement, more on a collective basis, of where people are in terms of their understanding, their thinking, but also help develop you in terms of you being able maybe to see some of your strengths and weaknesses, to see what you may have to offer our people and other parts in the world, and also to see what they have to offer you. So that was very, 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 you know, beneficial. But when we talk about Venezuela, there are a couple of things I would just like, you know, just share some observations. One is the city of Caracas. It is a very, very large city. If you just went for your first time and see the amount of building that has taken place, and most people told me that many of the current and new buildings that you see in Caracas, because it's made up a lot of mountains, they were just recently built in the last 15 to 20 years. And it's, you know, it's like a bigger version of New York City to me. And I thought, you know, the buildings were real interesting, the skyscrapers and, you know, but one of the things that did show that when you look at the ongoing revolution that's taking place in Venezuela, when you talk about resources and national budget, you can see where Hugo Chavez has laid down a foundation understanding that when you're talking about national budgets, those money should build things that are in the best interest of the people. And you see that in Caracas. You see that in Caracas. You also see something really interesting in terms of the dynamic of the struggle that has taken place in the past and will continue to take place in the present and the future of those who are rich and wealthy versus those who have been poor and oppressed. I said that because I thought it was really interesting looking at the physical layout of just some of the aspects of the city. I didn't see all of the city. It's just some. But most of the time, we were in the hotel at the conferences and stuff, you know, and you know, trying to figure out how to move forward collectively as people. But in this, what was really interesting, you know, in Caracas, what I thought was really interesting was you could travel down these highways and these roads, and on one side, you can see well-developed buildings and houses and homes for the rich and wealthy. While right on the other side of the street, you see the abject poverty of the poor. And I said to myself, this is really interesting. How long would someone expect for this to continue to go on without there be some kind of reaction to their oppression when you wake up every day and look across the street, you see a lot of wealth a lot of material possessions of things that you have been neglected of. How long do you think that will begin to affect the psyche of a people? And that's one of my interesting observations in traveling here throughout the city and looking at the phenomenon. I think the Venezuelan party and the government is on the correct path of trying to correct many of the wrongs and the ills, particularly those indigenous and African descendants. This is why they call and have a conference that will gear towards the Afro-descendants combo. This is why they call for this group. And they recognize that not only there's a need for Africans to function globally, but they recognize that their revolution can't be separated from African people inside, outside. And what they did was want to create a base and not only support the revolution, but also based on more integrated the struggle that they're going on with the struggle with African people all over the world. So I just thought, you know, that would be interesting. Now, what also is interesting is you can see and you can feel, and I was part of the impact of the U.S. blockade. In terms of the impact, you're talking about what people don't recognize with this U.S. embargo against Venezuela. It applies to Cuba, it applies to Iran, it applies to all those countries that don't want to go down the path of the West of pushing capitalism. And people want their own sovereignty, and people want their own ways to govern themselves. Well, Venezuela found itself at this historical moment to begin in Brazil's one. When you talk about this embargo and the Venezuelan economy, it's very similar to the state that Cuba was in back in the early 60s. When they declared their revolution as a social revolution. But then around that time, still most of all your major industries were in the hands of the enemy and were in the hands of private ownership, where individuals could dictate to the state what to do. Venezuela is fighting that. One of our discussions, it came out that most of all your private industries, they are anti-socialism, anti-direction of the government and the party. So now the question again is how do you wrestle that away from them and put it in the hands of the people? And one of the things Venezuela shared with us, I was privileged of us, was to correct this question of strategies and tactics and what they need to do right now to try to move forward. Mm-hmm. But two areas of emphasis that they are placing great emphasis on. And more I think about it, I think all countries have to do this is because of the fact that when you study the enemy and how they try to dominate and control and dictate and oppress you, these are the methods and the tactics that they use. And it's something they've been using historically. We just need to recognize the process and the steps that they use. Because one of the things they have stated historically in the past is that anything they have done in the past where they have been successful, they don't forget it and they're not going to change it. Now, when we look at some of the tactics, not only does it apply to Venezuela and what they're fighting, but also to Cuba, to Zimbabwe, African countries, to Iran, you name it, Palestine, et cetera. These are some things that the enemy does to create a scenario to make people believe that certain things are taking place when in reality it's not, or certain things are taking place because of the weakness of the government, and therefore, you know, you should turn against your government, change your government. But these are some of the steps and strategies they use. One of the things they do, emphasis, and it's going on today, and Cuba, what's going on in Cuba today is a good example. What's going on against Zimbabwe is a good example. And what's going on in North Korea is a good example. One of the first things they do, emphasis, they create and lobby public opinion. Get people to try to think the way they want. Secondly, what they do is they appoint the right man on the ground, or right people on the ground, to carry out their plan, their goals, objectives. They choose to appoint people on the ground. Three, they make sure these high officials and generals are ready to do things when it's time to do them. fall, they make the economy scream. As a word, they make sure the economy don't function. They make the economy very difficult. They make sure that you can't really produce the kind of things you need. You know, and this is what goes on. Number five, then your political leadership, they isolate them diplomatically. Guess what they do in Venezuela? Guess what they do to the Cuban leadership? This is what they did to the Libyan leadership. This is what they do to Iran. This is what they do. These are steps and these are processes that they use. After diplomatic isolation, they now, which you can see in many of these countries, and what's just so-called, they claim to be in Cuba, that's a misnomer, is organized mass protests. They make you think the protests is genuine and is come from within, but most of the time, it is created on the outside. Many times they pay people on the ground. Do that, they have paid provocateur. And they give you the illusion and create this kind of image around the world as if there is mass resistance or protest against the government, against the party, like they're doing in Venezuela, like they're doing in Cuba, like they're doing in many countries. Now, with all of this stuff they create, now begin to give them the green light to assassinate people and deny people the right to function as a nation. So we got to, again, remember to understand this process. And this is one of the things that Venezuela, Cuba, Bolivia, other countries is going to. And Venezuela recognized these two things, and I agree with that analysis in terms of their assessment. They got to build a propaganda machine to deal with this question of media propaganda, where you can get your own message out, you defend your idea, but you be in a position where you have to be able to compete against some propaganda-wise, mass media-wise. And the other one, they state, is this question of legality, dealing with these so-called rules and laws by the West and how to use them. That's new email right now. I don't know if you're aware of it. Billions of dollars of gold in Venezuela oil reserve has been unjustly taken and robbed by England. They got held up holding their wealth. All of Venezuela's major resources, money for oil, et cetera, that were inside of the United States, has been taken and given to an individual in Ecuador illegally. But they will argue the same things. They have justification for that. But, you know, this question of legality and law, we can understand how to use that as a tool and understand that. And if you look at those two features, you'll find out that Cuba is very good in the areas in competing with this question of mass media and propaganda and this question of legality. Because legality is one of the things they use to try to sell to the mass public that what they're doing is legit. And if you don't understand that, you'll fall. When you look at the impact of the embargo going to Venezuela, one of the things I encounter and we encounter is that, you know, it's very difficult to get to Venezuela because of the U.S. embargo. Many countries and allies, they do not travel there. It's very difficult to travel in and very difficult to get out. And that creates a problem. It creates a problem. If you have to make adjustments and changes, that become even more economically hard to do. For example, because of the COVID situation, mm-hmm. Most people need to realize if you travel to any country now, no country is allowed to let you leave unless you take the test. They call it a PCR, and you are not impacted by the virus. If you are impacted by the virus, you are required to stay there until you are no longer is positive, which means financially there's a cost to that. Mm. Also, it means planning-wise, you better incorporate that into your plan. Also, it means, too, you open yourself up to corruption by other unjust countries. Like some of my peers who came to the meeting, they went to other countries. And just to mm-hmm. take this basic test, PCR, you could pay anywhere from $50 to $250 for the same test. Depends on where you're at and arbitrarily what you want to charge. So in terms of anyone preparations or traveling outside the countries, these are some of the things you need to understand. But in terms of the blockade, Venezuela is in a very, very violent position, and they are, you know, struggling and fighting against it. For example, one of the things the U.S. has been able to do, not only Venezuela, but if you look at probably most of the countries they have economic relationship with, particularly those countries under the concept we call countries in the South, the ones who are the most exploited. In Venezuela, when we talk about the oil reserves and the oil production that comes out of Venezuela, all of that production was predicated on what the U.S. is, because the U.S. controlled the total aspect of every aspect of their production of oil. Every aspect. Even from the machinery you need to make one boat down to a boat, excuse my nut, it was controlled, it's controlled by them, so they were dependent upon them. When you produce oil, there are certain chemicals you need in order to process, to get gas from it. They control those chemicals. So there was the economy, and every aspect of that economy depended upon and controlled by production coming from out of the U.S. These are the things they are faced, they are facing, and they try to make changes and gradually making changes. They recognize that there's a need to be more independent agriculturally. They was put in a position, and may even put in a position that a large sums of their food are imported, and by depending upon other countries, by depending upon other countries to import food, it creates a problem. So now they are trying to figure ways how to start to have more people to grow their food. Like many countries, you know, young folks don't want to go on the farmland or farm. They don't understand the importance of agriculture. But they got to make these changes if they come on surviving and self-sufficient. And even making these changes, you got to figure out, too, you need machinery. And become very difficult to trade and get these machines from other countries, because any country that trade with U.S., and use at least 10% of any of their material, they cannot trade now unless U.S. can impose that way on that country. So this is some of the hardship. Even to travel in Venezuela, I realized and learned that when they travel sometimes from trying to get to one country to another country, many times because the U.S. countries not to let them travel in their airspace, they are forced to turn around, have to come back and reroute their travel path. It's called money, called time, et cetera. So these are some of the difficulties that the blockade is having on Venezuela, and Venezuela is facing. But out of all of that, I can say to you, the people down there were very humble, very positive, very energetic. They are fighting to not only to keep what they have developed, but even to move forward. This chaos they talk about that's going on in Venezuela, it seems very, very peaceful. It seems very organized. And the Venezuelan people are not willing to give up all the gains that they have created for the last 15 to 20 years. So I would tell folks, you know, don't believe the hype. Yes, it is a struggle. But the people are resilient. It's a combination of Africans and indigenous people with some mixture of Spanish, European people. But it's a really an interesting country that has great potential, and the folks are determined to control their own destination. These were just some of the observations that I took and recognized. And they do want to reach out to Africans in this country and elsewhere, recognize we're all in this thing together. And if they blockade Venezuela, they will blockade any other people, any other country, if they do not bow down to their desire, and they refuse to do that. I was honored, some of us were honored and privileged to be able to go to an ABBA meeting. We had all the countries that made up ABBA come together, had a special program where we had a chance to listen to President Maduro to speak. At that conference, I had the opportunity to meet Evo Morales, former president of Bolivia. And that was, you know, that was something interesting to see the multitude of people from around the world coming in and showing their solidarity and support. But more importantly, other countries begin to realize that they must work more as a collective and organize to deal with the power and influence of the U.S. and Western Europe. So, you know, these were some of the observations and things that I took and saw. And I believe this November upcoming, they're having another election. And, of course, the U.S. is trying to undermine that stuff. But they will continue to move forward. Mm-hmm. And do the things they need to do. And, you know, you got to realize that when we see a lot of stories in the media, just like recently, the story on this uprising in Cuba and this opposition, you got to be real careful. Recently, about 2 days ago, the president of Mexico, he made a statement and report about some of these reports and pictures that you're seeing in the public was not the real reality inside of Cuba. In terms of this protest taking part of the countries and U.S. Coming out of Canada working with U.S. agency information using it to try to build that scenario. You know, the U.S. has set aside millions of dollars now to create distortion, to propagate, to make you think certain things going on inside of Cuba, inside of Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
So it can create the scenario or a chance for them to intervene on a humanitarian issue. For all the years I've gone to Cuba, I will never say they don't have opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But that opposition is so small, so minute, it really, you know, from my observation, it's insignificant. Out of the 11, 12 million people, you know, in Cuba, you probably have less than 1 or 2% of people maybe in potentially the opposition. But they are not as well as organized and committed to 98% of the people who are all in harmony with the direction of the political party, with the commitment of the building of socialism, and with the commitment to make sure any information they get, they use it as a tool to help all of humanity. And it's these kind of examples, these kind of values, these kind of principles that threaten the imperialist capitalist system. Why they want to try to overthrow these governments. So, you know, that's just, you know, what some of my reflections as I think about this. And one of the things I did run into before in my travel was that we're leaving out Venezuela in terms of showing how desperate the opposition you are, and you need to be careful when you're traveling. And you know, the countries where you have these opposition is that they had people inside of the airport checking out and getting ready to catch a flight out, dressed up and having fake documents as they are U.S. customs agents and working for the immigration. And I asked people who live or born in America for their passport, saying they are violating the so-called embargo. And if you give it to them, you're in trouble. And furthermore, you know, that kind of act, illegal. They have no basis on the ground inside of Venezuela. If you're a so-called American official, you even attempt to operate within another person's territory. But this is the kind of deception that you know, these opposition would do. It's not nothing that they want to. And I was approached by one, tried to get my passport. I asked him who he was, what the hell are you talking about, and get the F out of my face, and he left. But unfortunately, I did see him scare some of the European sister who came and got a passport and left, and she started running behind us. I don't know what became of her, but she got serious problems. But these are kind of tricks and trades and a danger when you're dealing with these kind of people in opposition. But I can just tell you, overall, got organized. We had a chance to go down to one of the coastal community centers. The welcome and the greetings from us was excellent. And one of the good things about traveling in Venezuela is that one of the things I noticed is that at least it's really refreshing to see where children can be children. The youth can be youth. and they had the innocence enjoying life. That was very refreshing to see. And they act and respond like children when they meet other human beings and stuff. It's a lot of times something you don't see in the U.S. So that tells you something about the values and the kind of conditions that they are creating, you know, for their people. That's very positive. So those are, you know, just some of my observations, you know, and the overall, I think that it's very critical, not only for us to be aware of what's going on, but us to actively engage and support these countries. Because, you know, a victory for them, it will be a victory for us. And in the long run, definitely victory for Africa. One of the things I thought real interesting, how well organized we are, is when you first arrive in the country, everybody get on a plane, and you are scheduled to take a test of the virus. Mm-hmm. Take one when you come in and take one when you go on. But just level how quickly and effectively they do when you're organized. And also how they deal with the virus inside of Venezuela in terms of seriousness versus how it is there out here. It's like night and day. It's like night and day. So those mm-hmm. are just some of my observations. I'll be willing to discuss and talk about more if there are people have any questions and stuff. But I just would like to give people a reflection of what I experienced as a special delegate, being invited by the party, being invited from the president's office as well as the best special guest to run the program. So that's just my general reflection. When we finish our report, we will make it available to everybody.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Reverend Lee. And again, family, one of the reasons why I wanted to give that information to you is because, you know, we get a lot of bombardment from the commercial kinds of media. And it's really good to be able to get some, like we said, on the ground kinds of things, direct and from a perspective that is more conducive to our thought processes. So, you know, we try to bring you that kind of information because you're going to be bombarded again with a whole bunch of other stuff. And one of the things that Brother Lee made very clear is that this stuff that we're seeing put out there, of course, you know, with opposition about Cuba and all of that. I mean, you know, if you did not hear that there was some kind of other incentives going on with that, then you might look at that and really, you know, think that that's all there is. That's all that's going on. So we want to at least provide you with other kinds of information that will enable you to see some other perspectives and some other sides to things. And, of course, we all know that this government is very good at creating not only propaganda but misinformation and the dissemination of it. So, again, and then, of course, the other part that is always important for us is our position and statement in that we reserve the right. When it comes to Cuba, we reserve the right. I'm sure all of you are very aware that these VAX, as they're calling it, is going to end up much more in the mainstream of being, you know, injectable or whatever. As we proceed, I mean, they're already saying now that children, you know, under 12 can now get vaxxed, and they're putting all these other new protocols in for going to school for September. So they're gearing up for some next steps of stuff, and a lot of people are going to fall for it. So, again, we have to state our position and make it very clear that we reserve the right, and that right is that we must be able to select a treatment for any disease, but particularly at this point for the COVID-19 or whatever variation that they have of it. And again, at this point in time, Cuba is the only country, the only alternative that we find to be conducive for us. So again, if you have any questions or comments for Brother Lee, you can press 1 now, and we certainly will welcome your thoughts, your views. Go ahead, Brother Lee.
Brother, Matter of fact, Sister Empress, when you talk about these vaccines, it's very interesting why so many countries, I mean so many companies, are making vaccine for this one so-called virus. It would seem to me if the virus is the same, why would you need many countries to make vaccines? Each one making their own kind of vaccine, and each one claiming that it's effective to deal with the same virus. But I can't say this much in terms of my discussion with people around the world, when we was in Venezuela around that issue. There are basically only three countries where people feel comfortable with that they are willing to take these vaccine shots, and that's the vaccines out of Cuba, out of China, and out of Russia. The stuff that comes from U.S. and Europe, everyone is questionable and don't want to take it because they know that these countries have a history of not having no real love for people and for its people. And that has been our history.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. All right.
To add to the point, I'm in an investigation of my own self. I made a political decision to take the shot, even though I tell anyone, if you can, don't take the stuff. But you're not to take it. What they are doing is making sure that they're isolating you and you can't travel and you can't do anything. Well, if you can't travel and you can't do anything, you just give them more latitude to continue to wreak havoc on the rest of the world. You know, like anything else, if you're going to be free to make progress, some people will have to die and get their lives up. So in that sense, I took it, but something happened to me very uniquely coming back, Sister Empress. When I went back to immigration to Philadelphia, you know, they stopped me and looked at me like I was a freak. When they checked my body for metals, they said my chest was heavily integrated with metals. And they were trying to figure out what was going on with me. I never had that done before, but I do know this was two weeks before I took these two shots. I know there are many doctors around the world talks about they are putting metals in these things to medicalize their body for certain things. So I'm in the midst of trying to investigate and trying to find out what kind of metals, particularly heavy metals, that are in my blood system, trying to figure a way, you know, in the process of having tests to look at that. But unfortunately, even if I found out that's what they did, what they have done and what they're doing to the people is that they make you sign a paper where you cannot sue the pharmaceutical company, you can't sue the government, all the liability and chance that it falls on you. And not only that, when you do that, you also, if you don't realize it, you cancel your insurance policy. Your insurance company will not help and will not pay for your death if they contribute to coming from these shots. People don't know that. And all of this is a collusion and game. All of this ties in together. Not only does it tie in together, it's not no coincidence. The other night I read an article in this about how Facebook and Amazon colluded together with Facebook mandate Amazon the right to go ahead and pad them and create mini satellites where they're going to put up around the world for whatever reason. Why you mean over? They come 100,000 satellites all over the world. One of the first major satellites they're going to put up will be over the Congo.
Wow.
What is this? They're talking about hundreds of thousands, buying up all of the scientists, all the biologists, all these top scientists to carry out this particular program where all these satellites will be put up.
Wow.
At the same time, you must make the connection. Do you think it's a coincidence these so-called billionaires are going up in space and talking about experimenting with space?
Right.
All this is in collusion together. So the issue is, we are at war. These folks are desperate because the system is broke. They don't have no way of knowing how to fix it. And they're going to try to stay and survive by any means necessary. And once you come to that assessment and conclusion, I think we'll be in a better position to organize themselves and fight it. But anyway, I just want to give you, listen, Orion, something to think about, and we'll talk a little bit more about stuff tomorrow, Africa on the Moon at 7 p.m. But go ahead, Empress. I would like to have any questions or comments people like to make.
Yeah, I think we have, and we got maybe like 5 more minutes, so we have like 2, I think, callers to have questions, comments. And Brother Lee, I just want to say what you just shared, I mean, see, again, this is why it's so important that we really not only get organized and take some very serious positions, but really get prepared, because these people have a plan. And we keep dilly-dallying and just, you know, having these conversations, and I'm not hearing real direct action kinds of plans, or at least potentially so. And I'm telling folks, we better get ready, because these people have, they put their stuff in place. What about us? And it's got to be more than just the same old stuff that we've been talking about. And this is why, again, we have to make our position clear, and it has to be placed in a global arena, because the way this thing is going, you know, we just got to do some other kinds of things. Anyway, I think Brother Gregory has a question or a comment, so I'm going to open up his mic, and there we go. Hey, Brother Gregory.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
All right.
Up. Let me cut this down. Yeah, thank you, brother, for giving us an update on Venezuela and everything. And I'm glad you said you could look from the poverty, you could look out and see the mansions. And you said, I know the CIA and everything is involved in all that natural resources, but you said you took the COVID. So you're already in the mix. Do you feel that you was forced to, in order for you to maneuver around these other countries? Because this is a global, and we are at war, and it's no joke.
That's
this
right.
Global pandemic. Do you think that you had to take it in order for you to maneuver? So you got the metals in your body. Do you think?
Yep.
Are you going to take the third shot when the pharmaceuticals finally, because they're going to get the okay for the third shot?
Brother, I would say
you scared
this.
Of the
yes.
You had to do it for passport and
yes.
stuff?
I would say this. Most decisions that I have made in my life was never made as an individual. I never see myself as an individual, but I don't function that way. I function in the process of a collective process and the process what's in the best interest of our people. So there was a discussion among some of us, the positive, negative, and dynamic of taking or not taking these shots.
Right.
After these discussions, we just recognized there were some things that need to be done. As a result of it, you know, we will have to take the shots. Understanding
right.
the possibility. But like I said earlier, if you study history or anything, in order for our people to advance and make progress, many people had to and would have to continue to get our lives. So no longer become a question of was or not, you know, death to end resort. It becomes the question that if you don't do it and they isolate you and can't do anything, you only allow them to be rake more heads and stuff. Yes, you force them to doing it, because when you cannot get on airlines, okay, to get on an airline and not to have had these shots, and you sign the paper that you did, they find out that's a felony. You can be incarcerated, you can be locked up.
Especially
yes, you had to
going
do it.
Overseas, right?
Right, right. Yes, you had to do it to work. Your job is pressing you and telling you that you must have it or else you can't work.
It's happening now with my daughter.
You know, it's coercion and force. But it was a political choice that many of us made. But we don't. We understand those who don't want to do it. Okay, that's cool too. But it will limit you in terms of maybe how effective you can be in terms of trying to do the kind of thing to fight them and stop them from being able to continue to do things they do. That's the dilemma they have. Excuse me, that they have in those. That's the reality that you have to deal with. A real supportive friend of mine, Toronto, when she found out, she was very upset. But I had to explain to her, you know, why I made that decision. And so, Alva, you know, we're just talking. She understands. She understands a little more about her. These are some of the sacrifices some of us and most of us and all of us will have to make. And we talk about moving forward as a people. But
now,
yes, it is coercion. And, you know, it was political choice. Yeah.
Can you, this is one more quick. It seemed like now that the Democrats are back in, even though they just as bad as the Republicans, all of a sudden Cuba comes up into the framework.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Venezuela comes up into the framework. I remember seeing the Three Amigos, Barack Obama, Bush, and Clinton sitting up there in Haiti. So now that the Democrats are back in and they starting to do this same old thing, can you give me a quick opinion on that?
I would say Biden. Go ahead. Finish your question, brother. Go ahead.
No, if any, if any.
Yes.
Like you said.
I would say we don't follow the history of these people who operate
right.
in the political machinery inside, outside right. the United States, particularly inside these politicians. Anyone who knows the history of Biden would have known a long time ago that he would never do anything for African people. He is more of an mm-hmm. enemy to African people than the European poor just got out.
Right.
We're talking about Trump. Since
right.
he got in, not only has he not changed any policy that Trump has left, but he had intensified. They have established, I think, something like 263 additional laws and rules to tighten schools on Cuba.
Right.
So the question will come again, why do we continue to allow these politicians under this banner we call the Democratic Party to give our loyalty and our illusional vote to them, when most of the time you are even worse off under the administration? Under the Obama administration, if you look at all administrations that have bombed Africa the most and caused the most damage, you know what administration did more bombing against Africa and African people since U.S. existence? You know what administration did the most bombing and killing? It was the Obama administration.
Okay.
Did you know it's the Obama administration that laid the foundation for AFRICOM, who have a U.S. military all over the countries in Africa? And they just showed the state a weakness of the African government to allow foreign troops to be established in your own home, in your own territory. That's neocolonialism. But it's a good thing because Secretary Ray, Kwame Nkrumah, taught us that imperialism and capitalism were finding tombstones in Africa. Secretary Ray said that he knew and told us that they had to come to Africa, and that's where the decisive battle would take place, and that's where we're going to bury it. There's no way of getting around it. But from history, we knew that was coming. And at this point in time, you don't get militaries away back from your country by telling them, asking them. The only way you get them out of your country has to be through force. So the blood going to flow, but in the final analysis, we're going to win. The tombstone going to be in Africa. A defeat and the march of imperialism and capitalism. So the stage is set, and people must just have to understand that. It's something that we have to go through, and there's no way of getting around it. No way of getting around it. Don't have no fear right now. No way. It's not even time to be scared.
Wow. All right, Brother Lee. We got one more caller. Time for one more. Thank you, Brother Ray Ray.
Thank you.
Caller, you are at 2034. 2034, your mic is open.
Thank you.
Is that Sister Rahima?
Sister Rahima. Thank you, Thank you, Sister Empress Teach, for taking my call. And thank you, brothers, for taking the shot, because the connection is the metal. I don't know if you've seen these little pieces. They have pieces. I get information from other countries, but they're little round, look like flat marble that you can put. They stick on your skin, and that the metal in that is going to connect you to that and the satellite and these other towers that they're putting up in our communities. So the plan is to to get rid of all the people that are worthless, like, you know, like our senior citizens in the nursing homes and all that. Trump started that one. Then get rid of the children. They're not going to be of any use. And the ones who are brainy like you, brother, they want to connect you to the satellite so that they can control you.
Wow.
So they need workers, and they need people to run their machines and do all the technical stuff. So that's the plan. You know, and you are right. Some of us are going to be sacrificed, but we are going to win in the end because God is in control of all of us. So he's just bringing them out, and we just need to get ready. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Sister.
Yeah,
Amina.
How you doing, Sister?
Wow.
And by the way, Brother Lee, Sister Raheem is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay. All right. The spot where the brothers and sisters never stop struggling. They're showing you what
that's
it would be
right.
Like if you had an independent community. But you have an independent community, and you become the enemy of the state. So our people must understand you will never be able to be American in this country. From the origin of history, you start out as the enemy of the state. So, anyway, but... Yeah, but to my sister and to your listening audience, Empress, we would like to just make a call that we are planning a funeral tour to Cuba in December, the 27th of January the 3rd. People who are interested in coming and going and show their solidarity to their brothers in Cuba. And why I say Cuba is so special is Cuba is a liberated zone. It's a zone where a country can truly operate based upon its own interests and desires. And not to be controlled and dictated by external forces. And when you can do that, you can make decisions. Excuse me, you can make decisions how and where you spend your resources. This is why Cuba is really important to the whole world. But anyway, I just want to say that. We invite you to come and join us.
Right, Brother David. Thank you for that information. I mean, particularly the latter part, I have to take a minute. I'm going to take some extra minutes to process some of that because that's very, very serious. That's very serious, which we knew, but you, my brother, so to kind of hear you say this, it kind of hits in a different kind of way. So I wasn't kind of prepared to hear that, but I'm glad I did. But, I have to take a little time to digest that one. So...
I just came back from my medical, one of my medical doctors. Of course, he has career, he has interest, he's been influenced by his upbringing. And one thing I just want to be clear to him, to our listening audience, medical doctors, the best they can do is they can advise and give you information. And from that, you make decisions that are in the best interest of you. We had a VSS struggle and fight over this stuff. He came to the realization that, you know, what I was saying to him, you know, was true. And but what he said to me, I just want to put him on record. I request for a certain type of test where they test the metals in my blood. He refused to do it and give it to me because he put me on the defensive end and said, I need to define what type of metals that I think went in me. And I told him, how the hell I would know that? I'm telling you now, that's why. Right. That's all right, no problem. I just want to put you on record and put you on notice. I'll find a way. Because they have tests and stuff to where you can do this. It can cost money. I'll find a way to do that. But if the ills, the only issue that I have available to me now is make aware to the public that this shit is a reality. Mm-hmm. And I've been a victim of it. So again, if you're going to sacrifice yourself, the question is what you sacrifice yourself for. I'm not doing it for them, and I won't be no scientific experiment for them. But I will be an experiment to advance our people go forward. I mean, you know, because you're going to die anyway. It's a question of you die for.
Right. Thank you.
So I'm past that stage, but, you know, that's what it is. So anyway, sister, we thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be on that. But we know the only way we can defeat the enemy is through organization. We're organization, we can unity, we're organization, we think clearly. We're organization, we create the kind of information and propaganda that will overcome and destroy their propaganda. And Brother Sabukwe said, the greatest tool that the enemy has on us is to control our mind. We've got to transform the thinking, the mind, and the minds of our people. This is what it's all about. So let's get together, let's do that, and y'all continue to struggle. So I thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be on the program.
I just want to say quickly, there are salient solutions that will get metals out of the body. So, you know, God is still in control. Thank you. Let me say that.
If you know stuff that can benefit us, you know, can you submit that to Sister Empress to get it to me and what have you? But, you know, because, you know, we need to share it with our people. So anyway, hopefully that my little brief discussion and observation has done some good for somebody. You know, that's how, you know, that's all you can do. If you can change one person's life and benefit one person, then at least you have made a contribution to us to move forward.
Thank you. Absolutely. Brother Lee, thank you. Definitely. Thank you so much. All right, family, we are going to close this session out. We will be back next week. Of course, you want to catch Africa on the Move tomorrow, as Brother Lee mentioned, at 7 o'clock. He's on Blog Talk Radio. And also, of course, our sister Keisha, Brother Tad, Brother Ashe is on every Thursday live, but you can catch them too at any time. Just go to YouTube for Thorough Black Talk every Thursday night, 8 o'clock to 10 p.m. And, of course, Brother Mike Graves, you can also catch him on YouTube for Community Cop anytime. So these are some of our network family communicators. We certainly hope and encourage you to support their efforts and definitely tune in and get that information. You wanted to close out, Brother
Empress, I would like to make one quick announcement to you and your audience. We would like to encourage everybody at Seven Mountain Voice, if they can, to come down to Washington, D.C. and participate in this protest rally march that will take place on the 25th in Washington, organized by the D.C. Cuba Metro Coalition. I was seeing that information. They got seven Cuban brothers walking from Miami to D.C. They're stopping from city to city. They'll be in Richmond this week, Monday and Tuesday. But what they did was they came into the United States illegally. They were fighting the so-called direction of the people of Cuba, about the direction of the Cuban Revolution. Since being here, they have had a convergent understanding, you know, the real issue and problems of what's going on. And they are now demanding that the U.S. and U.S. government put an end to the U.S. blockade. We ask folks to come on out to this rally. And also, Empress, I would do my best when next year, so see if you can organize a night, a day, where they can come on your program and talk about their fight. It's really interesting to me.
Definitely I will
get with you in a day or so once I contact the person coordinating their tour and see if you can have them call in to talk about their experience, and that those Cubans in Miami, the reactionary forces, do not represent them and most of the Cubans who live in this country.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, yeah, definitely hook that up for us, Brother Lee, and whatever time or day you can connect it, we pretty much will, you know, make every effort to accommodate it. It doesn't have to be our regular Saturday night. You know, we can do a program anytime. So, but I do want to remind you, starting on the 25th, unfortunately, we start kicking off the Queen Mother Moore Week. So that actually starts on the 25th, and we do have, at least for us here in Philly, we have an activity that we'll be doing, and we'll be doing a whole week in commemoration of Queen Mother Moore, and we'll be doing our Reparatory Justice virtual conference. But of course, the issue of Cuba will be included because Queen Mother Moore was very supportive of Cuba and our brothers and sisters there. So definitely, you know, it will definitely tie in without a doubt. All right, family, again, we invite you all to continue to support, again, New Day Resurrection. As Sister DeWanda said, our $2 Tuesdays is still every week. And certainly, again, we make it real simple for folk, you know. And it's interesting to observe when we do a $2 Tuesday, we like to see who thinks we're worth $2, you know? So it's really kind of a test run to really examine some various things. But anyway, family, we thank you all again. And again, you know, tune in to Brother Lee, Sister Keisha, and of course Brother Mike. We're just a few of our communicators. We'll be bringing more to you very soon as we build now what we call the Black Asian Nation Network. So, Brother Lee, you kind of hit me with that one. I'm still kind of processing. So again, Stanley, we thank you all again. And, you know, keep in mind, the call to black women is now made. We will assemble in Washington, D.C. in commemoration of the 70th year anniversary of some serious black women who made a call in 1951. We're going to do some sessions on that during our virtual conference coming up. So stay tuned for that. If you want more information, please email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. If you so do wish to make a donation, we appreciate it. And that is can be done, of course, by using our Cash App. And that Cash App ID is $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. Or you can hit us up with your PayPal. And if you go to use your PayPal, you just send it to N. Wait a minute, what is this? Oh, National Black Human Rights. So it's nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. That's our PayPal account. And that stands for, of course, the National Black Human Rights Project. All right. We're getting ready to leave y'all, and we oftentimes greet you, and, of course, that is in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. And what we mean by that is, as we talk about justice, you got to really make it clear and identify what kind of justice you're talking about. Well, we say, of course, Ma'atic justice, because that encompasses not just justice, but truth, reciprocity, order, balance, law, righteousness, etc. That's the kind of justice we want. We want it all, without a shadow of a doubt, by any and all means necessary. Because if there's no justice, family, there's no what?
Peace.
No peace. Absolutely. All right, family, again, we'll be back next week. If you want more information about the upcoming Reparatory Justice Virtual Conference, we'll be more than happy to send you that information. And that is, of course, by emailing us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Until next week, we're going to hear this. Fela.
Oh, yes. The better how you talk, the more bread you go get. School starts at 24 bread, BA at 23 bread, MWay at 32 bread, BHT at 31 bread. The better how you talk, the more bread you go get. Another man.